An opportunity to give this morning. Please be obedient to what God has called you to in your giving, knowing that He has called us to give, hallelujah, and to be a support for this ministry, amen, and all the ministries that we serve. I thank God this morning for His word. I thank God for just being patient with us. Because so many times, even myself, we struggle in this life, in our walk with the Lord. And I can't speak individually for everyone here, but I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that you're here because you have a heart for the Lord. And you genuinely have a desire to walk in His will for your life. You may not show up every day for Him the way you should. You may not always walk in obedience to Him the way that you should. But if you're like me, even when you fall short, your heart hurts because you truly want to be faithful to God. You want to live for Him. You want your desire, your life to reflect Jesus. You want to be a witness to those that are around you. You want to be used by God for great things. So this message this morning is for those in this building or watching online who truly have a heart's desire to do work for the Lord. But for some reason, you struggle in that area. For some reason, at times we all do. So my hope is that through this word that God gave me, we can slowly but surely find our way to full alignment with God's will, to full alignment with His word. Amen. Before I begin, I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank You once again for Your word. I thank You for choosing me in this moment on this day to share the word that You've given me. And as always, Lord, I believe it hits me hardest because it hits me first. But I thank You for the conviction of Your word and the Holy Spirit that corrects us and leads us and guides us. I thank You for that. Because without Your word and without that conviction and correction, Lord, we'd stay the same. And those in this room and those are listening are probably a lot like me. God, we want to grow. So I pray, God, that through this word, Your truth, that You help us to achieve that. Maybe not today, Lord God, because it's a progression. But let this be the start, the beginning of something new in our lives that helps us to become more aligned with You and Your word and Your will for our life through this word. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. 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 If you would turn with me to the book of Hosea. It's Old Testament scripture. Hosea, I'm going to read from one verse from chapter 10, verse 12. It says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you." You know, over the years, I've read through the Bible several times, you know, growing up. And everyone loves the New Testament, and for good reason. But there are a lot of truths and a lot of blessings in the Old Testament as well. So from time to time, I move to the Old Testament again, and I read through it. I particularly love the book of Hosea. He was one of the, what they call minor prophets in God's word, not because his word was small, but just the size of the book and the message that was given to him. Hosea, the book of Hosea, it is such a beautiful example of God's love for us. Despite our unfaithfulness to him, despite all the things that we do wrong and bring judgment on our lives through disobedience and through running after the wrong things, God still loves us. And if you ever read through that book, you'll see that symbolism, you'll see that story. That's why I love the book so much. In this particular scripture, Hosea is addressing the Israelites. And like us, they are like us in so many ways, or I should say, we are like them in so many ways. I believe they love the Lord. They, despite their love for him, though, they kept falling back into idol worship and, you know, just doing things that were against God's will for their life. They saw the miracles. They crossed the Red Sea. They were delivered from Egyptian slavery. God helped them to win battle after battle against their enemies. They saw God's hand probably more than some of us have in our lives. But despite that, they still veered over into their own desires, their own fleshly desires. They sought out things that they could physically see to worship and bow down to. Their hearts were divided. That's what the book says. And sometimes our hearts are divided too. And the scripture is pointing out what's going on with them. One of the scriptures in the book that is pointing out what's going on with them, and it's giving them a remedy. It's giving them instruction. It's giving them direction on how to find their way back to the Lord. I want to speak today, the name of the message is Fallow to Fruitful. Fallow to Fruitful. How do we go from that fallow ground, and I'll talk a bit about what that is, to being fruitful in our walk with the Lord? The first step, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. We have to examine what we're sowing, church. We have to examine what we're investing in this morning. We have to examine what we're planting. Understanding and realizing that it's not about the harvest, it's about the seed. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You say, "Sister Angela, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I have the victory in Jesus, but I don't have joy this morning. I don't have peace. My life is in chaos. I'm continuing to struggle in sin. I have unforgiveness in my heart. I have bitterness in my heart. I'm holding on to trauma in my life. I just can't let it go. They hurt me. She hurt me. He hurt me. They took from me." We have unresolved issues, trauma and hurt that cause us to seek after things that temporarily seems like it heals that wound, but it doesn't, because it's not Jesus. It's not the Lord. It's not the source. It's temporary. It's a temporary fix. But because we think, "Oh, if I go after this new job, or if I get this new car, if I get this promotion, if I get this relationship that I want, things are going to be better." And we actively, because we're trying to to achieve these things, we fall short spiritually because we're sowing into those things instead of spiritual things. I want to be closer to the Lord. I want his anointing. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Are you spending time in prayer seeking that beyond the time that they call you to the altar here? Are you spending time in your word? Are you seeking the Lord for those things? Because there are promises in his word. The Holy Spirit is a promise. But you have to put forth work. Sowing is work on your part. Not that God needs you to do it, because the gift is ours. But his word just said, if you sow to your flesh, that is what you'll reap. So if you begin to start sowing to your spirit, spending that time in prayer, spending that time in his word, it's more than just coming to church every Sunday. We get so caught up in the routine of being a Christian that we forget that it's not about religion. We invited someone to church recently and the response was, oh, we're not religious. And I somewhat expected that response, but I asked the Lord to give me a response because I kind of took offense to that. It hit me because I'm not religious either. I have a relationship. And that was my response. Oh, I'm not religious either, but I do attend church because that's part of my relationship with him. I enjoy coming and seeing all of you here. This is fun for me. This is life for me. It's not out of obligation. It's not because I feel like I have to do it. It's a result of my relationship with him. Not about religion, not about ritual, not because this is what you do on Sundays because you're a Christian, you go to church. Maybe if we spent more time in prayer than we do seeking out entertainment, or if we spent more time in the scripture than we do on social media, if we spent more time encouraging and lifting up our brothers and sisters in Christ, versus putting them down, backbiting, esteeming ourselves higher than we should, walking in self-righteousness, thinking we're better than this person or that person. Spending more time pursuing him, pursuing his word, pursuing his will versus our own personal agendas. Then maybe we would have that joy. Maybe we would have that peace. Because there's a lot going on in the world right now. And it's easy to feel like it's chaotic. But I'm just amazed by God. Because there's been things that are going on in my life now, my past, and I know that are going to happen in my future that have made me feel initially unsteady, have disrupted my normalcy in my life, that have brought pain to me, that have brought hurt to me, that have brought confusion. But when I push past all of those things and I redirect my attention on the Lord, I see and I see him and I experience peace. And what was once confusion and turmoil and trouble in my life is no more. I can be like Peter was, walking on the water with the Lord. And as long as I'm keeping my eyes on him, despite the storm and everything that's going on around me, I'm at peace. If we indeed want a different harvest this morning, we have to be honest with ourselves and what we're sowing into this morning. And we have to understand that if we want a different harvest, we have to plant a different seed. Sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. The second step to move from fallow ground to fruitful. Break up your fallow ground. What is fallow ground? In the industry of farming, fallow ground is ground. It's not necessarily bad soil. It's just uncultivated. It may be hard, it may be dry. So if you try to plant something in that type of ground, it won't necessarily be fruitful. Spiritually, fallow is referring to our hearts. They're uncultivated. They're dry. They're hardened toward God. And why does that happen? Jeremiah 4:3 says, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." We're sowing among thorns this morning. I'm going to move to Matthew 13:22 to explain that a bit. "He also that received seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, but then the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." What are we allowing to be thorns that are causing us to, our hearts to be hardened toward the Lord? You say, how do you know? How do you know if my heart is fallow right now? Well, if you come in this building every Sunday, two sermons, go forth, and you're convicted, and God gives you instruction through the man or woman of God that is speaking it through, working for him, and you walk out of here the same that you walked in. There is no conviction anymore. You're not moved by it at all. Maybe you've never had a prayer life, or once you did, but it becomes inconsistent. Maybe you used to study the word of God. Maybe you never have. The key is fallow ground. No matter what's being planted in that ground, it's not going to produce fruit. It's not going to grow. So in your life, if you see yourself going in and out of sin, back and forth to the same thing over and over and over, check your heart. Is it hardened before God? Are you allowing things in your world, in your family, and just in general to produce thorns? Thorns aren't welcomed in a garden or a place where you're trying to grow. Why? Because they compete for the resources. Those thorns, there's a reason why you pull up thorns and weeds out of a garden. Because they compete for the water. They compete for the sun. They compete for the nutrients in the soil. And in like manner, spiritually, when our heart is hardened towards God, these thorns that we allow to come up, thorns in your flesh, things that you know, addictions that you may have, and it may not even be what people think as big sins. It could be bitterness in your heart. You know, it could be the lack of love that you show. It's a hard thing for me to see a person who calls himself a child of God, a woman of God, a man, a Christian, and you don't even show love. The simple things. Thank you, Lord. Fallow ground. An example of that is living your life in compromise more so than obedience. You've become comfortable in doing what you want to do, knowing that that goes against God's will for your life. And again, I'm not just speaking about blatant sin. There are things that may not necessarily be sin for one person, but God has called you out of that. But you continue to do it because it's what you want to do. We can't live a life of compromise. If you see yourself in this place, there's some fallow ground. And God is telling us to break that up this morning. That word break in the Hebrew meant to till. You know, like the word of God says, to stir up the gift that's in you. There's nothing wrong with the ground. It doesn't need to be replaced. It just needs to be broken up. Remove those thorns. They choke the word out. They choke the word. That's why the enemy continues to put things in our path. He wants to keep us distracted. He wants to keep us bound in sin. He wants to choke the word out of us because he knows God's word brings life. Life, abundant life in us. And not just in this life, but eternal life. Or as if we allow those weeds and those thorns to continue to grow and fester in our heart to choke out that word, it ends in death. And that's ultimately what the enemy wants. Eternal damnation for him. He wants that same life for us. So after we examine what we're sowing and we realize we're not sowing to our spirit, we're sowing to our flesh, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that it does to break up that fallow ground. James 1, 23 and 24 says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How many have a mirror in your home? Every hand should go up. Mirror in your purse, mirror in your car. We have mirrors everywhere. Why do we have mirrors? Because we want to look and see how good we look. And is our hair right? And is our clothes okay? And when we see something off, what do? We fix it. We correct it. See, God's word is a mirror. And a lot of times we avoid it because we don't want to correct those things that it points out in our lives. We want to continue to be comfortable doing what we're doing. But when you get in his word, and I'm not just saying reading it, studying it, oh, you're going to see yourself. You're going to see the wretched man or woman that you are. You're going to see your need for him. You're going to see your need for salvation. You're going to see your need for dedication and consecration to him. You're going to see that you are nothing apart from him. His word tells us that he's the vine. We're the branches. If this ground is fallow, in order for it to produce fruit, it has to come from him. His word didn't tell us to produce fruit. He does that in us, but only when we abide in him. When we live in him and he lives in us. So don't be afraid of the mirror. Naturally, we're in it every day. I know. I see y'all doing like I do in the mirror. Get in the mirror of his word. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you like he shows me who I am and why I need him every single day of my life. The mirror of his word. You don't want to be like the person that James spoke about that looks in that mirror and walks away and forgetteth the manner of man or woman that you are. You want to allow the Holy Spirit to come in to reveal that pride, to reveal that bitterness, to reveal that unrepentant sin in your heart. And then surrender to the Holy Spirit that can correct that. That's the only way it's going to happen. His word says, that same book that I'm referring to, John 15, as you produce fruit, he purges you. He cleans you so that you can produce even more fruit. So we have to know that that correction is coming, that cleansing is coming, and it's not comfortable. It's not always easy, but it's necessary for us. If we want to go from that fallow ground to becoming fruitful in him. We examine what we're sowing. We allow him to come in through the power of the Holy Spirit and break up that fallow ground and seek, for it is time to seek the Lord. Hosea, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. If it was time then, it's definitely time now. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I think one of the worst things that we can do is when you hear the Lord's voice, he's knocking at your heart. He's calling you and drawing you near to him. He's calling you out of sin. He's calling you away from your flesh and fleshly things into spiritual things. And you ignore him. You ignore the call on your life. You ignore what he's calling you to. It took me a while to surrender to ministering in this way because of my fear of public speaking. And you can't look at me and probably tell that, but it terrified me to speak in front of people. I've done it professionally for years, but I never liked it. I only did it because I had to. And then bearing the weight of delivering a message from God, that's heavy. For me, it was. So I started the laity program, and I just wanted to stay in my lane of singing. I've done that all my life. I'm comfortable in it. But God said, no, I want more from you. And it's not that I was doing something wrong, but just like Pastor Lincoln was speaking about in Bible study, there's two types of sin, omission and commission. So if you don't do something that God has called you to do, that's a sin of omission. And so I was walking in disobedience to the Lord because I wasn't doing what he called me to do. And I by no means call myself like the evangelist of the world, but God has a word that only I can give. And I remember sitting down with Pastor Thomas and Pastor Lincoln, and they shared that with me. And I went, I was in and out of laity, you know, because I was fighting my flesh. My flesh did not want to stand here and do this. And it's still sometimes I struggle with it because I don't feel worthy. I don't, you know, but it's not about me. It's about being obedient to what God has called you to. So this may not be the thing, but God has called us all to something. And unless we're actively seeking him and pursuing him and his will for our life instead of our own things and our own agenda, we may not know what that is. I don't fear it, but I think about the lives that could end up in hell because I'm not being obedient to what God has called me to. Because I didn't witness to this person because, you know, I live my life in a way that didn't reflect Jesus. And maybe a person didn't grow up in church like me. And maybe I'm the only person that they know who claims to be a Christian. But because I don't live and I'm not following the path that God has for me, that person loses their soul to hell. Oh, I'd much rather the opposite. I'd much rather arrive in eternity and people come to me and say, you gave a message or you sang a song or you lived your life in such a way that I gave my heart to Jesus. I may have never met them. People may see me that I never meet, but there may be something that I say or a way that I live my life that draws them to Christ. But unless I'm seeking him, unless I'm examining what I'm sowing, unless I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to break up that fallow ground, I won't see that. We have to know that whatever we consistently pursue, that's what we value. Like the word says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And the last thing is, the scripture says, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Well, how long am I supposed to be examining myself? How long am I supposed to break up this fallow ground? How long am I supposed to seek him until he come and rain righteousness upon you? Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap. That's a promise. You may not reap all the things on this side. Some of your reaping, some of your rewards may not come into eternity until eternity, but we know that it's coming. Until that rain, I wrote down some things. I said, Lord, what did you mean when you said, till he come and rain righteousness upon you? Well, the obvious is we alone aren't righteous in and of ourselves. We're righteous because he is righteous. And when we accept him, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. But it's more than that. It's more than that. His reign represents his presence. Hallelujah. Spiritual awakening, renewed passion, divine favor. When we allow that Holy Spirit to do the work in us, his reign is his response to our surrender. When we turn our hearts to him, he reigns on us. What is examples of that reign? Oh, God can renew a hunger for his word in your hearts. He can renew a hunger for prayer in you. He can restore your family. He can break chains that you have been bound in for years. He can give you a fresh revelation of the scripture. I was telling Pastor Ike this morning, I've read that scripture multiple times, but God gave it to him in a way that I never heard it. And when you get in God's word, you know, watching Pastor Lincoln up here Wednesday speaking and with a smile on his face about how he just enjoys seeking after God, you know, through his word and learning more about him. That's what happens. God can give you that hunger and that thirst for righteousness. He can give you that if you allow him to rain his righteousness on you. Souls are saved when he reigns. Revival happens in the church when he reigns. Healing happens when he reigns. There's a reason that demons tremble at the sound in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we want to surrender to him. We want to examine ourselves. Hallelujah. What we're sowing in this world. Allow the Holy Spirit to break up that ground. Seek him and stay faithful. Stay faithful until the rain comes. I'm going to close with Psalm 126, 5 and 6. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What is this saying? It's not saying, what it's saying is you may have some tears. I have tears. But they're joys. There's joy in it. And you continue to sow righteousness. And you continue to break up that fallow ground and you continue to seek the Lord and you continue to be faithful until the rain comes. And his word says, doubtless they'll come again with rejoicing. Doubtless they'll come again with rejoicing. Don't be weary in well-doing. Sometimes we're doing this for the Lord and we want it right now. Microwave blessing. I want my blessing from the Lord right now. Sometimes it takes time. Prayer and things like that take time to bring upon God's blessing, God's answer in your life. But it's coming. We just have to be patient and wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord, hallelujah, shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings. They'll fly like eagles. But sometimes it does require a wait. There's often a period of waiting between sowing and reaping, a season between prayer and breakthrough, a delay between obedience and visible results. But we have to be patient and wait on the Lord to do the work. However, he sees fit in his perfect time. So I'm hoping the word today, the same as it was for Hosea's day, it's still applicable now. That's the timeless gift of God's word. He's just reminding us this morning as I close to prepare the ground, to sow righteousness and seek him with our whole heart until he comes and rains down righteousness upon us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you so much this morning. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. And just like I do, Lord, I know my brothers, my sisters in Christ that hear my voice. God, we want to be used for your will and for your purpose every day of our life. But some of us have allowed our heart to become hardened towards you. We've allowed thorns to come up to choke out your word in us. We become complacent and we become comfortable in our walk with you, and it's more of a ritual than a relationship. So prayerfully, God, this word fell on good ground this morning as you remind us, Father, to examine ourselves, to open up your word, God, and allow it to be the mirror that shows us who we are, God, and our great need for you this morning, our great need for your word, our great need to surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit so that it can correct us, it can lead us, it can guide us. Strengthen us, Lord God. Give us the strength we need to bow down to you so that you can truly become Lord of our life, God, instead of us being Lord of our life. Allow you to take the wheel and lead and guide us in everything that we do. Not for blessing, Lord God, but just to walk in obedience to you. Help us, Lord God, to examine ourselves, to allow the Holy Spirit to break up that fallow, hardened ground of our heart. Encourage us, Lord God, to continue to seek you until the rain comes. And we will give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Angela, for that wonderful word. That was such a good word. It just reminds us that when times, whenever we want to do something else, instead of going and getting on our knees or going and opening our words, that we should be seeking God. That other stuff can wait. We can always do that later. But when he calls us, we really need to be obedient and go and do what he's asking us to do, because that's how we grow. You coming to church is good. It's great. But when we can study on our own and seek him for ourselves, he speaks to us. So let's remember when we leave here to not let that message fall on deaf ears. Thank you all for coming this morning. Thank you for those of you who joined us online. We hope that you enjoyed the service as well. I have just a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to support the ministry, we ask that you do help support the ministry. Ignite Prayer is going to be this Friday at 10 o'clock p.m. And we want to thank all of you who came out to the movie night. We appreciate you. And we also want to keep in prayer Sister Smith and her family. She lost Brother Rodney unexpectedly this past week. So let's keep her in our prayers. And if you would stand, please. I'm going to dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that we heard upon this morning. I pray that we will always remember to give you our time. I know that we will mess up and we won't always do it, but God, that we won't just continue to not give you our time. That we can seek you and find what it is that you have prepared for us in our lives to do. Show us that person who may need a word from us, a prayer from us. And we can do that if we're studying and on our knees. And we can't do this alone, God. We need your help to do it. And we know that if we call on you, you will do just that. We are your children and you love us and you want to see us grow. I pray also, Father God, for the offering that we take up here today, that it will be blessed tenfold and we can continue to get your word out across all over the world. I pray for traveling mercies back home, God. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.